You're listening to
Cattails. Hi, and welcome to another edition of Cattails. True punks don't age gracefully, and Nigel Bennett, former Members member and current guitarist for the Vibrators, couldn't care less. I first met Nigel when he was performing at a charity gig in North Norfolk, and we chatted about everything from his naughty school days to snakeskin boots. Now he's lifting the lid on the reality of the music business with a new solo album, Another Bump in the Road, which chronicles the euphoria and exhaustion that comes with the occasionally glamorous job. This is The Other One with Nigel Bennett.
And how are you?
It's good. I'm sitting here in my underpants, but it's good that it's radio. I went out today to have my knee looked at. It's pouring with rain in London. I got back about 1 o'clock and on purpose to be ready for you any time.
Oh, bless you. And how is the knee? Let's start with that.
Oh, it's fine. It's just last year on the American tour, somehow damaged it, and I had to have some sort of physio on it afterwards. It's just one of those things. I've no idea, but they know what it's about. And basically, it's exercises they give me to do that I find... When people tell you to do exercises, it's very hard to get round to it, isn't it?
Oh, it is indeed. And I don't know whether you're like me, but, you know, ask me to do some exercise, I'd be like, oh, God, no. But if I fancy a bit of dancing or something that isn't exercise, you know, inverted commas, then I'm happy, you know?
Good. Honestly, but I'm going away on tour in 10 days. It's suddenly whizzing by, and I won't be back till October the 18th. And just that this is a Vibrators tour. This isn't my solo stuff. So that, you know, that's what I'm up to. I've got another American tour, and then I'll be back, and then I'm going to start probably do some shows for my album, actually. People's already, I'm playing tomorrow, and people said, keep me a copy and all this. So 8 copies arrived today from America. And when I get back from America, I'll bring a whole load with me. But it's expensive to mail them. They were all pressed up in the States. So I'll bring them back in my luggage.
Yes, that's a good idea. But yeah, it's a cheaper way of doing it, I think, isn't it?
So. Yeah, it's good. It's on Spotify, and also people can buy it on iTunes and Amazon.
Right, good.
So it's they can download it those two ways, because that's what the record company set up, and the CDs they left to me.
That's a good idea, isn't it? It's not, being self-sufficient is often the best way of being, isn't it, these days?
Well, these days, if you don't cut out as many middlemen as possible, you get nothing anyway, but you get less than nothing if you have other people involved. So,
yeah. That's so true, isn't
money
it?
Money is made from gigs, not records. I mean, I was watching this documentary last night, and, you know, all the bands I know, the big ones particularly, their money is made not from records at all anymore. It's all from live shows. Whereas you used to make a record, and the live shows were to promote the record. It's completely the other way now.
It is. It's a topsy-turvy world in that respect, isn't it? But, you know, for those people who like to perform, that's a great, you know, gift, isn't it, really?
It is. I think it's terribly difficult for new bands starting up because, of course, they, you know, get nothing to perform. But you know what? Music's always been difficult. It was never easier back then or now. The performing arts aren't easy. And it's always been the way. It's just different criteria.
Yes, it's not your average office job, put it that way, is it?
No, it's not. You're quite right. Because in the office, you don't go home with the people afterwards and have to spend the night with them and all day travelling.
That is so true. That's so true. But perhaps we don't want all those details, Nigel. We don't want to know what you get up to in your spare time.
Okay.
So anyway, let me think about this album then. Let me talk to you about this, Nigel, because this is the exciting thing that's happening to you at the moment, isn't it? So
it is.
Another Bump in the Road.
Yep.
Tell me all about it and how it all started. Where did it come from?
Well, I thought it's about time I did another album, and I had a bunch of songs not finished but ready to go. And it's funny because several things all came aligned at the same time. Lyrics I can find the hardest, and I said to my daughter Melody, who's 23, and she was staying with me, I said, by the way, if you've got any ideas, you know, I'm writing an album, feel free. And I didn't think she'd necessarily, because she's never taken any notice, I've always thought, in what I did. And then 2 days later, she gave me some lyrics, called Another Bump in the Road, which turned out to be the title track. Not only did I think they were amazing, they were so insightful. It's like she'd been on the road with me, and there's me thinking that she never particularly took any notice. I always thought, Dad, it's something he does. He plays in a band. But she had a really good idea, and I said, God, I love these, but I need one more verse. And she said, well, give me a little bit, Dad. 2 days later, she came up with the third verse, and I had a tune for it, and it's the only acoustic number on the album, and it stood out. And therefore, I thought, as it's different, because the others are always all electric and rocky, yeah, I made it the title track, and I also liked the title. So that's how that song came about, and all the rest I wrote. And then two good friends of mine, Steve Lillywhite, the producer, and Adam Clayton in U2, they were listening as I went on. I sent them, you know, works in progress, and they both said, do you realise it's almost like a concept album of being on the road? But we both realised that the word concept is very old and far too pretentious. Yeah. But it's almost that it fits together, and really it's to do with my last 40 years of touring, I suppose. And it's sort of one of the tracks, the opening track, is called On the Road Again.
Yeah.
And they're all part of a reflection and related to years of playing live, I think.
Well, that's great though, isn't it? Because you're pulling on, as most big great songwriters do, you're calling on your own experiences, aren't you, as the central pin, shall we say, of a song. But what I like about the album is it almost takes you on a journey, doesn't it, with you, as if you were actually going on that journey of touring.
Well, that's very nice of you, and right on the money of you to say that, because I realised it was after I had done it. It didn't start that way, if that makes sense.
It does. That's really interesting.
It wasn't like, oh, write an album about that. I had no idea, but it then turned out that it must be subconscious that I'd written these songs. And like I say, friends of mine saw the link before I did. And Melody, my daughter, writing the lyrics to Another Bump in the Road, gelled it all together. And so, yes, it is really about that. And it just came that way. It was subconscious, not conscious.
This town is different, but the stars are the same. Wind from the east, and it whispers your name. Now the lights are flashing, and the crowd appears. A sea of faces, I wish yours was here. Another bump in the road, through the sun and the snow. I hold you close to my heart, but my head's in the show. And I'll be home when it ends. Then someday I'll be gone again. After the laughs and the strife, back to the stage, this stage of life. Are ringing, it's my lullaby. In a dim motel room, curtains black out the sky. I look at my phone, but I'm too tired to speak. My mind is racing, but my body is so weak. Another bump in the road, through the sun and the snow. I hold you close to my heart, but my head's in the show. And I'll be home when it ends, then someday I'll be gone again. After the laughter and the strife, back to the stage, this stage of life. Numbness takes over, as it's all the same. I love the music, but I don't like the game. Another bump in the road, through the sun and the snow. I hold you close to my heart, but my head's in the show. And I'll be home when it ends, then someday I'll be gone again. After the laughter and the strife, back to this stage of life.
Whether or not, when you are constructing these things, whether or not it is okay, it's subconsciously doing something, but actually that it kind of comes out in an almost formed capacity, doesn't it, in a formed way, rather than having to be contrite and contrived. If you do it the way that you've just done there, it has some sort of genuineness, doesn't it, and authenticity.
Well, again, good of you to say so. Yes, because I don't think anyone, I think you see through if people try and write anything about what they don't know about. Now, I'm not a seasoned songwriter. I'd never considered myself that way, but I always hope that it's, I'm not prolific, but I like to think that it's quality, not quantity. And therefore, they all came from things inside me. And I'm a guitar nerd, really. I don't have any hobbies. All I do is play the guitar and travel around playing it to people. So that's where I would draw my knowledge from. And again, it has come out in this record. And people that have heard it really like it. And so, because you always think, you know, I wonder if they'll like it or not. But I am happy with it. I also prefer it to the first one, which is good, because you should always get better at what you do.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? And of course it is quite different to what you would expect the Vibrators, for example, to be doing, which of course you're part of the Vibrators and your background in terms of punk. It feels a little bit more rocky in a traditional sense, rather than just sort of like that aggression of that we would attribute to punk.
Well, that is also true. Now, the thing is, like actors in a soap opera, you can get cast in something, and the punk umbrella these days is over a lot of things, from absolute noise that you hear in America, people call themselves a punk band, to quite predictable. The reason I love playing in the Vibrators, just to slightly digress, is because it's not just noisy three chord wonders. The songs are good, and we have dynamics. There's light and shade. So when it came to recording the album, obviously, to get the backing tracks down, I needed a bass player and a drummer.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, yeah, I'm on a budget. I could get two friends that don't know each other. We'd have to start from scratch. But intuitively, Pete, Eddie and I from the Vibrators can read each other so well and play very naturally. So I asked them both, and to my joy, they said yes.
Oh, wow.
So I gave them some demos, went over it one afternoon with Pete. We went into the studio and got all the backing tracks done in a day. And again, it was just so good. I mean, they did it better than I ever thought. And I think for them as well, it is the three of us working together we're good at, but it doesn't mean that you only make one noise. And I think music, but it's good for everybody to stretch it in a different direction. So essentially, it's the Vibrators, musician-wise, but very different songs.
Yeah.
And I've always been more rocky. My background was growing up listening to The Who and Hendrix and Jimmy Page and all those people, because there was music before punk, funnily enough.
Yes. tend to forget that, don't we, really? Isn't it strange?
Yes. You know, when I was young and joined the members in about 1978, you know, everyone pretended that music didn't exist and they were all dissing all the bands that were superstars before, even though, ironically, some of those bands, like The Clash and The Stranglers, became themselves to be big stars afterwards. So it is just, it's all marketing and publicity. There was a thing, the punks, it came and went very quickly in 1977, 1978. There was anger and aggression, and because, of course, there was mass unemployment and disillusionment and everything, and that's why the song on the album called New Wave reflects that. It's about, you know, it came and went in a flash, really.
Yeah, no, you said it's really interesting that you brought that one up, because I was going to actually ask about that, because I actually heard something on the radio very recently around that whole aspect, that today musicians aren't really picking up on the extraordinary political climate that we've currently got. And, you know, writers aren't writing about that and musicians aren't performing it. So it's good to see that you're actually still true to those roots in a way by taking those things that are have either inspired or annoyed you in the first place.
I'm amazed that they don't. Young bands, they have this platform. Some of them even do covers, but they're either making mediocre pop or whatever, or stuff that their audience might think is new, and it is to them because they're young. But I mean, when things are tough, and they're as tough now as they were in the 70s in terms of hopelessness, unemployment, and the political stuff that's going on all over the Western world is absolutely appalling. And you'd think they would want to shout and scream about it, and one of the traditional and best ways always to do that is through the arts, particularly music.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not seeing it, are we? Which is quite interesting, really. But so,
it is.
You know, so looking at the album and the particular track, New Wave, then, what kind of inspiration did you take for that particular song?
Well, I had the riff, and when I write a song, I have a guitar in hand, and the words need to fit phonetically as well as rhythmically and what you say. It all sort of comes at once. And I've always thought, again, because I started in the New Wave era, about exactly why there isn't this current anger reflected in music at the moment and how it came and went. I mean, if you think about the Sex Pistols, which people always think back to the beginning of punk, they only had one album. They were there and then they were gone. And only a few bands that developed and got better at their craft survived after that. But the initial punk thing, there was a lot of bands playing every night of the week all over Britain. And they were angry, you know, and I the song really is about, you know, the new wave, where's it all gone? And it had its day in the sun, you know, so it was there and then it was gone again, but not forgotten in my view. But not really. I mean, again, one of the lines is, and I don't mean annually at Rebellion, because yes, you have a huge punk festival once a year where you see thousands of punks all walking around, and it's totally wonderful. But the whole general spirit of the anger of what was going on then is not present at the moment, in my view.
it began.
Quite a few more musicians will be picking up the banner on that, particularly young ones, as you say, and coming through and using it as a protest, or even just a voice, having a voice and actually going out there and saying something is a powerful tool, isn't it?
I agree, and I wonder why they don't. Maybe it's social media has taken over or stopped people getting together, because everyone that was young then, they couldn't play. That was the whole idea. The rebellion was against the dinosaur bands like Yes and all those huge people that playing the stadiums and becoming very self-indulgent because no one was there to tell them otherwise. So the young man started, and it was a great platform, and they do not seem to be doing that at the moment, and I am surprised, but I don't know why.
Yeah.
I mean, things are cyclic, and if there was ever a time to have another big musical protest, you know, in America about Trump and in Britain about everything else that's going wrong, I mean, everywhere, the world's turning more right-wing and everything else, and it's, you know, it pushes down the little people that need a voice.
Yeah, the time is ripe, isn't it? It's interesting to see whether or not that, you know, that somebody comes forward with that, really. But I guess what you've actually got with the live performance, at least that does allow you to take songs out, doesn't it, to the public and have that voice that, okay, it's not the young rebellion coming through, but you've got your message and you're able to go out there and perform that. Does that feel good still?
Very much. It just gets better, and I never take it for granted. I think it's a privilege to be able to go out there and play to people. And, you know, to this day, I never think, oh, there'll be lots there. Every gig, I always think, oh, I wonder if there'll be any people there. Yeah. And then it's better to be pleasantly surprised than the other way around. Because there's a lot of bands out there, a lot of them have reformed, not kept going all the way through. And, I never take it for granted. It is totally wonderful. It's the only thing I know how to do. And when everything else is very difficult all around us, I do feel, I don't know, like, it's what I'm supposed to be doing in the hour or two that I play for people.
Oh, well, that's lovely. That's lovely. And, of course, you're taking this album out on tour, on a solo tour. When's that going to be, and how many venues are you looking at doing?
Do you know, I don't know. Mm. When I get back from America in the end of October, I will look to that. I've spoken to the other musicians that played, not Eddie and Pete, but the wonderful vocals by Suzanne Reddington-Gardner and Joe McGruddy on keyboards. They're well up for it. And I will then have to see, like any young band starting up, mm-hmm. where I can play.
Yes.
And so on. I'd like to start off in London, maybe supporting people, because it's not easy if you haven't got a name from way back. And I will see what's available and start all over.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that even with somebody with your pedigree, with your experience, with your, you know, opportunities still to play with the Vibrators, that actually you've still got to tread those boards, haven't you, with some new music, etc., and start all over again.
Well, it goes right down the line. I mean, I'm not comparing myself, don't get me wrong, but you take someone like Mick Jagger, when he's with the Rolling Stones, they have an enormous appeal. He makes a solo album and it doesn't sell any, hardly, even though he is Mick Jagger. What I'm saying is that as an analogy. So you take someone that's been in a band that's known, just because they go out on their own doesn't guarantee anything. What helps is if the people, there's a buzz about the record and as many people get to hear it as possible. And really, there's no Top of the Pops or music shows of any caliber anymore, but there's still radio, thank God.
Yes.
Like indeed that you're involved in.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Nigel, indeed. So out of the tracks that you're looking at, you know, looking forward to playing, is there one in particular that you're going, do you know what, that's the one I would want to really bring to the audience?
Well, I would say On the Road Again and New Wave are two that stick out to me, mm-hmm. that will be fun to play. But because my solo repertoire isn't enormous, I probably play most of my first solo albums and then a few other treats that I can take from wherever I want if I wish. You know, the Vibrators, the members, and other songs that I happen to really like. So that's the wonderful thing. When it's the responsibility is all yours, so that's the downside, but the freedom of doing what you want is the good side.
Yeah, absolutely. And so really, somebody who comes to see you, have a bit of a treat of everything that you've produced yourself solo, and maybe a little Vibrator track in there as well to keep them going. And
definitely.
Good.
Yeah. So I can pick and choose.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, when you write an album on your own, if you're with a band, you can bounce ideas off each other. When you're on your own, you start with a guitar and a blank piece of paper, and there's no particular feedback or criticism from anywhere else, and you can go from minute to minute thinking, oh, that's really good, so that's crap, all in your own mind. And it's only then you tentatively start to run it by people, and even then everyone has a different opinion, and they don't hear the finished product in their head like you're imagining. And so, I'm just so pleased I've managed to get it done.
Yeah, and you know, what an accomplishment it must be. I can only imagine how proud you are of it, to actually, from the moment you've sat down with, you know, the germ of an idea, to producing those riffs and the music, and then getting the lyrics together, and actually forming a song. I mean, it's quite a little miracle in its own right, isn't it, each of these little creations?
Well, thank you for saying, I suppose. I mean, it's a process that you get stuck in. But, of course, again, not only that, but you have to find the money to record, beg, borrow, steal, anything you can to get there. And then you're responsible for everything, organising other musicians, getting the studio booked. I mean, I never, you know, you do absolutely everything yourself. And except, of course, Pat Collier produced the album, and he is just wonderful. I don't know if a lot of people realise, but he was the Vibrators' original bass player right back in 1976-77. But early on, very quickly decided touring life wasn't for him, and he has been producing ever since, and he's the go-to producer now for so many people, and definitely for me. He's a fantastic man to work with, intuitive, quick, and just brilliant, actually.
Just got time to grab a quick coffee. See you downstairs in the hotel lobby. Come on, guys, quick as you can. No time to lose. Get in the car.
sounds like it's been a right treat and a good process yourself for actually going through this process of creating it, and one that sounds very enjoyable, but also one that you're really quite proud of as well.
Yeah, I'd say that was in a nutshell. And, you know, now I realise the next one must be not as big a gap as between the first and the second. I should get another one done, because when you're dead, you don't leave anything else much behind except your gene pool and your children, yeah, and possibly some artwork, you know?
Yeah, that's so very true, isn't it? So have you got some ideas already for the next album, or is that something you're putting off till you've actually gone and toured this one?
No, I do, because as a guitarist, you're always twiddling around, and it often starts with a riff, and I've got some sort of riff ideas, and then you come up with a phrase, and that can be a chorus, and from a chorus, then the rest of the song can grow. So I do have some early seeds of ideas already, yes.
Oh,
and, is the short answer.
So you're going to start it very soon. But, of course, in the meantime, of course, you want people to go and have a look and listen to Another Bump in the Road, and, of course, buy it. So where can they go, Nigel, to actually go and get their own copy?
Right. Good question. Well, the record company has set it up that you can download it the very modern way on Amazon and iTunes. You can go there and download the album. And I will have some physical copies. At the moment, I will have for sale at the merch desk at Vibrators Gigs. And I will also, I think, set something up so that people can contact me, probably through Facebook or any other way, if they really want one, and I'll mail it to them. That's because the record company aren't taking care of the physical CDs, that's down to me, but they have organised the way to download it, which apparently is what most people want these days. Having said that, a lot of my contemporaries who are well in their 50s still like the tangibility of having something physical in their hand.
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
Indeed I do. I do. You know, you can play it in the car, you can take it to people's houses, say, hey, check this out, rather like old albums that you used to do, and there's nothing quite like having a CD. So the CDs will be around, but if you want it immediately, feel free to download it from Amazon and iTunes.
That's terrific. And where can people contact you personally then, Nigel? Are you on social media and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. There is a music page, and I will get a web page set up soon. It's all it's all in the pipeline at the moment, so that I can be found, obviously.
Yeah.
And always through the Vibrators too, that are contactable.
Of course, absolutely. Well, it sounds to me like it's going to be one huge success, because it's a particularly great album and I really enjoyed listening to it. And it's been fabulous
talking to you.
It has been fabulous talking to you again, Nigel. It really has. And, I look forward to the next one as well.
Kat, I will definitely keep you in the loop. You'll be one of the very first to hear when there's something new.
You've been listening to Cattails. To listen again to this and other tales, go to cattails.co.uk.